Oh boy. Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How you doing? It is Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. And I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you to everybody who will listen in the future. And thank you to everyone on Patreon and Blue Sky and everywhere else on social media for all the support, sharing the podcast around, and coming back each week. Whether you're just, you know, listening casually, if you're invested and you're maybe writing down questions to send to the Patreon, which you have a couple today, or if you're just turning it on in the background and just going about your business, just want to say I appreciate you. And it means a lot, even if you don't know it. I do really appreciate it. So, just remember, doesn't take a lot, doesn't even require your money. The Patreon people who are doing $3 a month, that is super cool of you. Thank you so much. Anybody else, if you want to support over there, that's totally fine. I would love that. Obviously, it's not required to listen to the podcast, but I am going to be putting some Patreon exclusive stuff out for paid members soon. I know I've said that before, and it's taken a while, and this will take a while too, because I have to kind of herd some cats together to get the guests on for some of this stuff. But I think I'm going to put a couple of them to the side and fire them off on Thursday. This way they can get released over the next couple of weeks into the new year. So I can maybe take a little bit of a break from doing the podcast on such a, you know, on a weekly basis. Who knows? We'll just kind of see how things shake out. But yeah, man. Yeah, things are going pretty good. Wonky, weird, because, you know, we all live on planet Earth. But yeah, it's actually not bad. Not bad. At least for me personally. For the world, it's on fire. But for me, I'm good. Let's see, I had some minor hiccups this week. AT&T broke our internet for almost 2 days. That was cool. It's just one of those things where, like, everything seemed to be working fine right up until it wasn't. I know that makes no sense and perfect sense at the same time. But it was like we were seeing like all these other people in our neighborhood, I guess, had outages starting as early as last Thursday. Last Thursday, but, you know, last week. Thursday evening. And then, lo and behold, it hit us Friday morning. Some people were like, yeah, I've been out of internet for like a day by the time we finally had it, and like, oh shit, you know. And we have a business line here because obviously both my wife and myself work from home, so it was a necessity for us to have, like, you know, high speed internet, and then, you know, to have priority service, because if this goes down, money doesn't get made, podcasts don't get produced, streams don't get done. Which, by the way, come and check out the streams later on today at twitch.tv/linkib. But anyway. Last Friday, we couldn't have done that because the interwebs were down. And then they came back. I was out running some errands on Saturday morning. And by the afternoon, when I returned home, everything had been turned back on. So, a minor inconvenience. Definitely a first world problem kind of thing. But here's the real kicker. AT&T is kind of wasteful and shitty at what they do. I will explain, but just going to put that out there right now. As a starting point, AT&T might be one of the worst internet service providers that I've seen recently, and it's because of how lackadaisical their approach is to customer service. Now, some might argue, well, you got your internet back on. It wasn't gone all weekend like you were worried about. Some rumors were saying that we wouldn't have the internet restored until Monday, which would have been all at once, right on time, and still way too late. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we would have still gotten it back, but, I mean, there's stuff that would have been needed to be done Friday through Saturday, Sunday, whatever. But, you know, it was just is more as much of an inconvenience as it was, and was also impeding the ability to work and produce, you know, the podcast and do streams and stuff like that. So, hooray for that. But like I said before, I've mentioned before in the past, AT&T did a terrible job putting the internet in here in the first place. You think if there's like a fiber optic cable, right? You want to make sure that it's kind of protected. you know, like the elements can't get to it. Maybe a random mower blade or, you know, a truck driving across your lawn for a landscaping job or a construction job or something like that wouldn't destroy it. But nope, that's not the case. Essentially, what they did was they pulled the line and lifted up the sod and just stuck the line underneath the grass. Yeah, if I go out there right now, I can reach down and basically with my two fingers, I can reach down and pull the line up out of the ground. That's how poorly they've done this job here. And it's their standard thing. And then their other issue is if you have a problem with it, tough. If it gets broken, it's your fault. And we're not paying to fix it. You'll have to be, you'll be charged to have us repair it. I'm like, the fuck do you mean? You guys couldn't, we would have paid for an installation that just ran like a thin little PVC pipe, just like 6 inches underground, just low enough so it wouldn't get crushed right away. But nope, not AT&T. So I'm sure the wife has probably fought with him a little bit over a credit for the day that we were without internet. Well, day and a half, actually, we were without internet. But that's just the thing. We shouldn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, the worst part about it was because of where we built. Like, the builder made some sweetheart deal with AT&T that gave them exclusive internet service provider rights to this area. So you couldn't get another provider in here if you tried. The only way to get around it was to get like a Verizon or some other mobile hotspot that was at your house. And boy howdy, one, do they suck. Because unless you have wireless access points built in throughout your house, that signal ain't going very far. And then on top of that, because there's no hardline connection, a lot of your devices that require higher speed internet or just connectivity are just going to be ass out, you know? So it's very frustrating. Now that that stricture has been lifted, Comcast has moved in here. They did a great job because they dug up a water main and fucked up the water around the place for like half a day. So good on them too. And then there's another one called IQ Fiber, which I would like to get. And I think the biggest issue that we're having right now is one, finding an internet service provider that meets our needs and our speeds. And two, one that works as a catch-all. See, part of the allure of a service like AT&T or Comcast, I think, is that they provide a bunch of different services that are bundled into one. Now, Comcast doesn't provide really much of anything in terms of business internet that's enviable at all. I know they got this 5-year price guarantee, but that's strictly for commercial internet. And the issue with that is if we switch to a commercial account, even though we do use the internet for business purposes, because it's not listed as a business account, it can be fudgy when it comes time to file taxes and have a portion of the utilities and the mortgage or whatever written off because these are office spaces that we're operating in. It's not like we're doing this out of our bedroom, you know? I mean, it's not OnlyFans, but even still, like those people probably could write off a portion of their rent, like their bedroom or their internet or their utility usage and stuff like that as a business expense, right? So the issue, it makes it easier if you just have it as a business account because then like we can't argue with this. It literally says business internet on the fucking, you know, bill that they sent us. We're looking at our taxes. So, yeah, AT&T broke the internet. But, I mean, honestly, outside of that, it was actually pretty cool. Like, the wife and I took some time to hang out, shoot some pool, listen to some music, just jam and chill, you know. And it was great. It was like one of those moments where you remind yourself of how good it is to unplug every now and again. Like I've said multiple times over the years, and I will continue to ad nauseum, being attached to your phone and your internet makes you weird. It makes you less interesting of a person. Like you are only as funny as the funniest thing you can find somebody else said. You know what I mean? Like, oh, somebody's like, oh, so-and-so hilarious. Well, really, how so? Oh, they've always got these funny videos from this guy. Or they found this really cool parody song from this person. I'm like, okay, those are two separate people that are funny and you learned about through this person. But what does this person bring to the table? They bring potato salad to picnic. Shut up. Your phones don't make you interesting. your tablets don't make you cool. You know what I mean? Like who you are as a person is what puts you on. Like I've said a million times, and I will continue to say it. I'm not sorry about it at all. I actually had a discussion recently with the WAF. And we were talking about like last week's topic where I said that there's no such thing as a loneliness epidemic. What it is that people haven't learned how to communicate with each other, and they've made themselves weird and unapproachable. And that's why they're lonely. It's not because, you know, no one's trying to get to know anybody. It's because no one tried to get to know anybody. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't, you haven't made any inroads in how to be a person in society. Like, it's so weird that like one of the funnier and also one of the more interesting and telling things I've heard in recent memory was this idea of people going out to eat and they put all their cell phones in the middle of the table and the first one to pick up their cell phone pays the check. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be pressured with financial ruin, basically, for taking your friends out for dinner and drinks if you pick up your dinner, if you pick up your phone before the checks arrive. Yeah, you can't be a person for 2 hours with people you say that you care about and that you're friends with, that you have to worry about getting hit in the pocketbook. And it's just gotten worse and weirder. You know, and I've noticed it for years, but it was interesting to look again and see, like, you know, during the holidays or during family gatherings or friend group gatherings. And I'm just saying in general, not even just in my own house. I mean, just looking around, like, I go out to do, you know, errands or whatever. And I go out and hang out with friends. Sometimes I'll see people, I'll observe people actually actively pursuing this behavior where there's maybe two people who are actually talking and the rest of the time they're staring at the top of their friends' heads because they're in their phones. Like, you came out in public to talk to people who didn't drive out here to see you. What the fuck is that about? So yeah, like, we've had that discussion before. And I really do think it's, and it also makes it for weaker minds. You know what I mean? People don't have the mental elasticity or plasticity, or however you want to choose to say that, flexibility to negotiate social situations. So they feel like everything is always a threat. You know, any critique is a threat. Any attention is all wholly unwelcome and unwanted. But then they're like, but I'm so bored and lonely. Well, you got to pick a street, motherfucker. You know, you can't be like, I'm bored and lonely, but I don't want to talk to people and I don't want to make friends. I don't have anyone I can rely on. But every time I talk, every time somebody mentions, do you want to go here? Your first thought is, when can we leave? Or do we have to? You know, you've made yourself unlikable. That is your problem. That is not a problem for society to fix. That's a you thing. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's kind of the point, is that if we don't tell each other harsh truths, we don't learn harsh lessons. And what happens is ultimately then people retreat into themselves and then they get worse. They don't get better. They don't usually generally find a way to get better or, you know, how to rectify the internal issues that they have. They just sink themselves further and further and deeper. And then before you know it, you know, you got a kid who's, you know, running into a school with the rifle because no one likes him and everybody picked on him. Well, you chose to be, I'm not saying that this always happened, but like this, and it's not necessarily a blanket hard and fast rule, right? But that's one of those outcomes. Or you have somebody who's so insulated and so isolated that they don't know how to enjoy being around the company of others. And now you've got someone who's basically a shut-in and a recluse. Or then they try to, you know, engage with people and they're super weird because they never bothered to really talk to people at all. And so then when they have their discourse, even via the internet, which is usually a safer space for some folks like that, they come off as super cringy and bizarre because they haven't really bothered to work out their conversational skills and, you know, their interpersonal skills with actual human beings. They just only relate through, you know, characters and emoji on screens. I know I'm preaching, but it's just one of those things that actually bothers me because it worries me for people. It's not that I think that people are shit for it. I mean, it makes you a shitty person if you continue to roll with it, but you're not a bad person because that's a way in which you've learned to engage with one another. But when you make it become your personality and you fail to find any other way to navigate social situations, yeah, it becomes a weakness. I mean, it's so bad that Australia is actually putting a law. This actually happened this week. Australia is putting together a law like to ban social media use by people under the age of 16. And while I get that, like, the younger generation has been raised up with and on social media, I don't necessarily agree that it's a good thing. And there's one of the young ladies who was there made an interesting point, which I don't think is incorrect, but she's like, you know, you're making a law that says that people who are under a certain age can't use these apps and use social media. But basically what you're saying is that democracy doesn't exist for us until we turn 16, which is just like patently not true. And she's correct. But it's not about democracy when you're still living under your parents' house. You live under a dictatorship. You know what I mean? Unless you're emancipated at 15, 14, whatever, and you can provide for yourself, pay for your own cell phone bill, get your own car, get to in fact back and forth from your job, afford your apartment, afford your own healthcare, afford your own school clothes, guess what? You are a peasant. There's no nice way to say it. There's no pleasant way to say it. You are a serf. You live under the rule of King Mom and King Dad, or Queen Mom and Queen Dad, however you want to phrase it. Like, that's your life, and you just have to get comfortable with that fact. And the reason it's designed that way in large part is in the hopes that those two people with their combined experiences can come together to teach you a better way to be a better person than they grew up to know. And it's kind of hard to do that when you're constantly being countermanded by, you know, a kid's desire to be in their tablets, you know, the reach of social media, the constant influence and pervasiveness of people's friends, thoughts, and opinions and ideas, which you can't get rid of and you shouldn't. But, you know, you'd have to be able to do a balancing act with that kind of information. And if you never get a chance to really sort that out, you don't really get a chance to sort that out till it's too late. And then you're weird. And then you're claiming there's a loneliness epidemic. Fuck out of my face. I needed some water. But I mean, it's this might be the most red pill I would probably get. It's just saying that, like, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't have access to social media. I'm definitely not saying they shouldn't be aware of it, because the pitfalls are numerous, as are the benefits. But there has to be a balance that has to happen. I think Australia is going a little far by saying you can't use it at all, because they're saying that, but they're also not implying any penalties. So what are you talking about here? You're not actually doing anything. You're just making a big, loud statement for nothing. But there has to be a balancing act somewhere. There has to be a happy medium somewhere in there. And I know it's crazy, because you think about, like, you know, AI and, you know, how deep fakes happen and this, that, and the other. And yeah, that gets really scary real fast, man. Like, AI is definitely coming for our jobs. I've seen people, friends of mine, who've used AI for certain purposes. And I go, like, that's great and everything. And I do like some of the stuff you're doing. But it's just the AI aspect of it is just so not cool with me. Because it does detract from the human experience. And it detracts from the soul and the love that you find in creating something. And it's coming for more than just the jobs, man. Like, eventually, you know, the idea is to replace as many thinking, breathing human beings as possible in the name of profitability for those people who can afford to use AI in that manner. And when that happens, you know, what's left for the average human being? You know, what do you do then? You don't have a job. And because you don't have a job, you don't have any income. And because you don't have any income, that means you can't provide in a consumer-based capitalistic society. So what's your purpose here? What do we do then? Are we now, like, are we just Soylent Green for the rich? If you don't know that, one, it's okay. It's a very old reference. And if you do know that, two, you should probably go and get your prostate checked and get your next mammogram scheduled. But also, you understand what I'm saying. I know people will, talk about politics all the time. You know why? Because it impacts so much of our lives. Everything that we do is influenced by the reach of the political infrastructure of our country. I would love to say that that's not true, but it reaches into practically every aspect of American life at the very least. And it's terrifying. I don't like it. I wish it wasn't the case, but I'm pointing out some examples real quick so we can speed run forward. Donald Trump just removed Martin Luther King Day and Juneteenth from a list of free for everyone national holidays that you can go to national parks for free. You don't have to pay to get in. Took off Juneteenth, which is the day that you hear about Black Liberation Day, essentially. And then Martin Luther King Jr. Day, got rid of those two people. Martin Luther King was a great American. Yeah, really? So great that you removed his birthday from this list of free holidays for people to go and experience the beauty of the national parks in the United States. You know what he added? His own fucking birthday. Took away 2 days from, black people and black history, but made sure he got his big fat white ass in there, didn't he? Yeah, I'm not even sorry to make it about race. It's hard not to when someone's a racist. Like, it does come down to race. Sucks to suck, but he's a racist. And I hate when people go like, oh, politics, they don't like talking about politics. Like Pharrell, we talked about Pharrell Williams last week, talking about like, politics is made up. Only somebody who's rich and like I said, and isolated or immunized in a certain way from the political ramifications of the world around them can afford to have that kind of stupid opinion. Usually when someone says, I don't like politics, what they're really saying to you is, my politics are fucked up, and if you find out about them, you won't like me. That's usually what they're saying. The only other thing they're usually saying, most of the time, like I said, not always, usually they're saying, I have fucked up views, and if you find out about them, you will not like me. Or, I don't know enough about it, so I can't talk about it, so I don't like it. No, you just don't like it because you don't know anything. That's fine. I was ignorant about how great, sauteed onions could be on a burger until I tried it, and then I tried it, I'm like, oh, that's amazing, and it enhanced my life. So can knowledge. But here's another thing when we talk about how politics affects your life. One, we're looking down the barrel of mandatory vaccination repeals that are coming, thanks to our government. The Affordable Care Act subsidies, or more popularly known as Obamacare, are set to expire, and it doesn't look like Republicans are going to keep their promise to the Democrats after the shutdown and vote them back in. And because we're pulling back birth time vaccinations, or like young infant vaccinations for children and whatnot, hepatitis C is starting to go back up on the rise. Who'd have guessed? The guy who's eating fucking dead bears and has a worm in his brain would fuck up Health and Human Services for the entire country. Who would have guessed? Who would have ever thought? Right? But that doesn't affect you, right? No, people losing their Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP benefits, that doesn't affect you or anybody you know, right? No? Okay. I'm just saying you're in a very charmed position if none of this touches your life. Very charmed indeed. Yeah, and it's crazy that people have had that feeling and can say that out loud and be like, huh? Well, I don't know about... Even like Switzerland is now bowing down to Trump. How's that neutrality? They're trying to cut deals with Trump to get like tariff reductions and stuff like that. Like one of the other companies was, there's a watchmaker, super pop, Rolex. They're operating out of Switzerland. Yeah, they're trying to negotiate with Trump to get like, their tariffs lowered. How is that being neutral? You should have just taken that L like everybody else. But that's one of those things that people are going to do. Whenever they find out something's going to impact them, then they try to squirrel their way out of it. There's also Randy fucking Fine. This chode-sucking toady from Florida. First, Florida news is almost always terrible. I just got to see him on CNN today. And he was asked directly about, you guys have already heard about, the double tap boat assault that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump basically have co-opted together to blame another general for, who admittedly is also kind of a turd because he decided he wanted to do it anyway. Admiral Frank Bradley. I think Frank Mitch Bradley or whatever. So they're trying to push for Hegseth to have to release the unadulterated video footage of this strike to see what were these people really doing, how is this actually carried off, what was really going on here, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, in lockstep with President Trump, just swinging from his balls, is Randy Fatboy Fine, who's like, well, I trust that the president has the best interests of the American people at heart, and so if he says we don't need to see it, then I guess we don't need to see it. What kind of fool are you? Look, if you voted for Randy Fine, I have a bridge for sale. You're obviously that stupid that you'll still buy it even after I'm telling you I'm literally lying to you. This guy is a chode, and is another demonstration of like why, because he is supposed to represent a constituency. That means things that he votes on that are going to affect your direct community affect you as a human being. People don't want to see that. They really don't want to see that. I don't understand why. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense to just be mindful of that. I don't know. I actually was listening to another podcast. I do advocate for other podcasts on occasion on this show. This one called I've Had It. And it's an interesting podcast. But there's a lady on there a couple of weeks ago named Crystal Ball. I know. The irony of the name isn't lost on me either. She was really like seeing the future. And she was talking about how some Republicans, particularly surrounding the Zohra Mamdani race in New York, were basically saying these Democratic women have voted themselves into Sharia law. You can't believe that some people who claim to be so smart would basically vote Sharia law onto themselves. And she had a great point, which I find is going to be a great talking point for anybody who has to deal with a stupid MAGA person in their life. It's like, you have to think about this. How bad were the options when they chose Sharia law, which is generally pretty restrictive, putting it mildly, about the rights and, you know, rights of women and the sanctity of their personhood? They chose that over voting Republican. Do you see what I'm saying? How fucking bad are you, and how terrified of you are they that they're like, I mean, I'd rather, you know, live like I came from a Muslim country where it's super repressionist against women than live under an American, you know, flag with the place run by Republicans. Do you see the hypocrisy there? It's like you aren't seeing the fact that they really are fucking scared of you more than anything else. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, it's like they'd rather vote for basically slavery in a way than be under a Republican regime and basically be turned into broodmares, you know. And that's a pretty horrible fucking reality to look at. That's how bad the Republican Party's gotten. I don't know. I will say one thing about that podcast. And this is like, I generally do like their podcast. And I got to say this to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Anytime you lean so hard against a particular group, it's scary. And it's not a great look for you. Like you got Ben Shapiro that leans hard against Jews. You've got Tim Dillon, who's basically a self-loathing homosexual comic who's also a big MAGA supporter. Don't know what that fucking shit's all about. But he's alienating everybody around him. And I'm going to be honest, another one of these Red Pill guys came up. I can't remember his fucking name. But you remember the Andrew Tates, the Joe Rogans, those kinds of guys who are just kind of like populating the manosphere kind of era of pod, like, not era, but the manosphere genre of podcasting. Super toxic, very dangerous. Also, generally speaking, largely uninformed. And even if they are informed, it's with the worst kind of information, or at least with the worst intentions. And I'm starting to find that some of these female podcasters that I'm seeing, you know, and it doesn't matter what spectrum, you know, what part of the spectrum you land on, as far as like your gender identity or sexuality, a lot of the ladies I'm hearing about when they say really shitty things about guys, it doesn't really help the cause. Not saying that it's not good information, and not saying that men aren't historically the most dangerous thing in the world for women. I definitely get a lot of what they're saying, but you have to also remember, too, one of the reasons that a lot of people said they wouldn't vote for Kamala Harris was because the messaging pretty much excluded men almost entirely, they felt. I don't see that was necessarily true, and it certainly didn't color my vote, because I voted for her. I'd have voted for her three times if I thought it was legal, but, you know, somebody else was probably using the voting machine when I was trying to vote extra times. But, you know, wholesale attacking of men, women, LGBTQ, ethnic groups, religious groups is a dangerous and, quite honestly, lazy tactic. And I just want people to be mindful about it too. And also, if you see me really leaning that way, you could check me too and be like, hey, you said this. And if I need to clarify, I will. Because generally speaking, I don't have that kind of bent to anything that I say. If anything, it's more of an admonishment to be better. You know what I mean? Not a wholesale attack. Yeah, I don't really have that kind of leaning. There are some things I'm sure that I am that way about. Don't get me wrong. I'm certain there are. But yeah, I'm trying to make sure I avoid that kind of thing. And that's just a message to all my fellow female podcasters, lady podcasters, women podcasters, however you choose to be addressed or heard. You know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. And you know what I'm getting at. Watch it. Just because someone like me can see it and go like, that's a little aggressive. Someone with a little bit less enlightenment is going to be really shitty about it. And I just really like hearing those varied voices on the radio. And it's a shame to hear some of the stories that they have where they're like, so-and-so, you know, from blah, 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 on our Patreon or in our emails sent death threats to us. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. It's like, but I'll tell you one thing. There's no need to incite it. There's no need to egg people on. And I know that I can be really acerbic at times too. And I don't doubt that there's somebody out there who's probably wanted to be like, man, I wish I could put a foot down his throat. I'm like, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it does. But I think that there's always a way to be better. And if we can encourage other people to do it, we can always take a look inwards and do the same thing ourselves. So anyway, that's my tiny little soapbox. I just think a super aggro anti-men sentiment is equally as toxic as like the dude bros who are thumping each other's chests and stuff like that. That's all dangerous speech, all dangerous rhetoric. Yeah. Anyway, oh, I was thinking about this too. Do you see that this happened today? I'm kind of glad the podcast is a little behind. A passenger plane landed on a highway, I think it's South Florida. Plane was coming in for an emergency landing and was trying to find a clear spot on the highway and landed on a car. Now, granted, it was a small passenger plane, maybe like a 4-6-seater max, like a Cessna or something like that. But still, an airplane landing on your car, crazy work. And it's later in the evening, too, looked like, so probably like 5-6 in the day. So 5-6 o'clock, maybe a little later. The sky was already getting dark. But can you imagine you're cruising along? Maybe you're just on your way back home from work, thinking about a little bit of pot roast you got left in the, oh my God, there's a plane on my car. You know what I mean? That's friggin' bananish. Just absolutely bananish. Anyway, that's just where I'm at with it. What the fuck just happened here? That's super bizarre. Why did my recording stop? Did it stop? I'm gonna find out. I'm back? I don't know. Weird. Reaper just had like a little minor aneurysm there. Any hoodles. But yeah, plane land on a car. Crazy. But again, Florida. News from Florida is usually weird, if not outright terrifying. Good job. Also, I hope this WB and Netflix merger fails. Because it's messed up that Netflix wants to eat like all this extra content, but they won't let us share our passwords with one another. Fuck them. I like Netflix as a general rule. I like that as a concept. But no, they don't need to be any bigger than they are right now. This is when it gets ridiculous. We got to knock this shit off. Quit it. Stop it right now. Speaking of Netflix, though, anybody else watch K-pop Demon Hunters recently? I still jam to the soundtrack whenever I hear it. And honestly, if it was one of those things, you remember how, like, you know, back in the day, you'd see your favorite movie and it'd be on like TBS. You know it's going to be edited. You know it's going to be commercials. But you're like, yeah, sit down and watch this. Like if streaming services occasionally just did that, like when you've been strolling through the recommendations for hours. Or like, I've done it a lot. I'm very guilty of it. Because I want to see all the things. I just know I can't stay awake for all of it. But I'll scroll through stuff and just check out a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And like it goes... It would be fun if Netflix would just every now and again be like, you know what? You've been here for 10 minutes. You haven't picked a single show. We're just going to start off something that you were already watching and just do that for you. I actually would pay. I would pay a good price for Netflix to do that occasionally. Just like, oh yeah, I would not necessarily. I don't want them to increase it, and God forbid, I just probably gave them a fucking idea right now. But I mean, I would pay an additional like 50 cents. I think that feature would be worth an additional 50 cents a month. That like if you're just doom scrolling for too long, it goes, all right, beep, you're watching this. You've watched this movie like twice and you're going to watch it again for the third time since you keep fucking around. Watch this shit. That'd be great. I had to jump up to go and move the blinds a little bit. It's starting to get a little sunny in here, which is fine, but it's going to get real hot. And for some reason, the theme song to the show Davy Crockett has been running through my head the last couple days. I don't know why, and I can't begin to tell you what's going on there. But it kind of makes me want to go back and find that show and watch it. I bet you that's on Amazon Prime. Oh my God, sorry. I needed some water right then, right now. Face is all dried out and shit. It's because I made some quesadillas and had some. I made some chicken wings the other day. I've been trying to mash them down. And yeah, it was good stuff. I just made the quesadillas just now. I'm like, oh, that was really yummy. And the only thing that bummed me out was I didn't get off my ash and go pick up some more of the carne asada meat to make some more tacos. I need to make some more tacos, baby. Yeah. Let's see. I know there was something else I was thinking about. There's plenty of stuff I was thinking about. We're talking about movies. Mentioned that, like, I was a gift from Black Dynamite. I was talking with the family. I threw that in there. I'm like, you know, I haven't watched Black Dynamite in a while. There's also that other film, The Outlaw. I think it's The Outlaw, Casey Jones or something like that. I want to go back and watch Black Dynamite again. That is a film classic. Mainly because it's high parody. But it's also a parody of, like, a really crazy film genre in the first place. But it's so underrated and it's so good. I can't begin to tell you how much I love that movie. Yeah, that's just one of the things that's on my mind lately. Different entertainment stuff. Oh, I went back and started playing Borderlands 4 again for a little bit on stream. I'm going to do it again today, I think, too. There's no reason not to play more of that game. I mean, some minor quality of life issues aside, the game is damn solid. It's loads of fun. There seems to be a pretty deep well of extra content that isn't just the main story missions. I mean, with side missions and seasonal events and stuff like that, it's definitely more fun than a lot of other first-person shooters out there. And it's wacky and weird. Holy irreverent, like, there's no one that's going to say, oh, Borderlands is good, wholesome fun for the whole family. Not even a little bit. It's a raunchy, wild ride, but boy, is it fun. I'm thoroughly enjoying that fucking game. And I've forgotten how much fun I had playing it because I'd steered into the new stuff with Destiny, and I was like, ah, fuck, they got me again. Then I started playing Borderlands. I'm like, I'm going to go back to this shit for a while. This is so much fun. And I find myself enjoying more of the time I'm spending in it. Now, I will say that the Renegades content for Destiny 2 is fun to play. Albeit, I think that the armor system is still shit. I don't necessarily care for some of the ideas that they put into it. But I can see where there's some thought implemented here. And this feels a little bit less grimy. Albeit, it's very clear that it's a cash grab with the Star Wars themes to everything. I mean, Star Wars kind of woven into Destiny because a lot of the people who work on it love Star Wars, like a lot of people in gaming. But yeah, this one is very very blatant. Goodness, excuse me. I don't know why I'm so tired. I know I'm tired. I took a melatonin last night to go to sleep. And when I take melatonin, it sits in my system forever. The only way to really get this shit out would have been to, like, go outside for a bike ride or sit in the sun and take a nap first. That's about it. Otherwise, it just sits on me. I hate that shit. But anyway, back to Destiny. Yeah, it's, like, the content's fun. and you can feel Star Wars all the way over, all the way through it, you know. But yeah, just I want to hate it more than I do. Because I know it's Bungie, and I know it's a money grab, and it does play onto the nostalgia, but there's still something fun about Star Wars, man. I can't lie. I mean, it's part of the reason why I didn't want to get it in the first place. I'm like, I'm going to be a junkie for this shit. But last night, I ran a chunk of the story with my buddy and the wife, and man, I got the, there's a, and obviously, it's a straight rip of a lightsaber. It's called the Praxic Saber. But it's a lightsaber, man. We know what it is. A Praxic blade and whatever. Yeah, I got the lightsaber last night. And they have like a little, obviously when you get a new mechanic introduced in a video game, they usually give you like a little testing ground to try it out with. And boy howdy, can I tell you, that thing is a lot of fun. And it feels natural too. Like it doesn't feel forced to use the force. If we put it that way. Yeah, it feels very fluid and natural. But yeah, I was having a great time with that. So I'm impressed so far. The Star Wars bits they got right, the Destiny bits are still wrong. Everything that's Star Wars about it is great. Everything that's Destiny about it is kind of like, I could live without this part. You know? Kind of like most things Destiny, honestly, if I'm being quite real. But yeah. I was playing some of that the other day. Oh, I was streaming a new friend. We'll just say K. Almost killed me because I was like, hey, I don't know how you want me to refer to you. Like, some people get really bent out of shape if, you know, you assume their gender or whatever. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just not on the forefront of my mind because it doesn't impact me like that, you know, I guess. Which maybe that's a little bit of privilege on my part. But I'm like, I also find that I don't give a shit what's between somebody else's legs if it's not serving me. I don't care. Or how you would choose to identify doesn't do shit for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it's not my business and it's not my place to tell you how to live your life. So tell me what you want me to call you. I'll do that, you know? And so I'm just doing that. And I was like, I don't know, you know, do you have any pronouns that you prefer? I mean, I usually don't think about that kind of thing up front. So I figured it's not a bad thing to ask somebody. Whatever. If they get offended by it, you know what? That's on them. It has nothing to do with me. And in fucking fabulous fashion, she goes, my pronouns are she, her, and bitch. I was like, okay. Okay. I didn't see that coming from a mile off. And I almost choked because I was reading it. And I was taking a sip of my soda and it almost came out of my fucking nose. His pronouns are she, her, and bitch. I'm like, that was clever. I appreciate that. That was really good. That was fucking great. Oh, you know what? Something else that struck me today, too. I've noticed that people are playing a lot more Overwatch recently. And then I looked at Overwatch today. Why didn't y'all tell me there was new heroes in Overwatch that were awesome? There's a new hero named Wuyang. And he's got, like, water-based elemental powers. They have, like, a little hero, like, cinematic kind of thing about the most. A lot of these folks. His is really good. I don't know who's working the animation for this studio now, but this new animation style that they're working with that's not CG. You know, Blizzard and Overwatch had like a lot of great CG intros and stuff like that for Overwatch over the years for each of the characters, you know. But they've been doing a lot more like celled animation, and it's like it's really well done. The Wuyang one in particular, and the new lady, the new two new characters I saw, Wuyang and Vendetta, their animations are really good, really heartfelt. Like, there's something that they do really well there, too, is, like, kind of find a way to pull at the heartstrings. But the characters themselves, just their abilities and their skill sets just look amazing. They look super rad. I want to go and play some of it now. I was actually thinking about it, too. I'm like, man, maybe I could push the podcast to Thursday, but I'm like, nah, let's get it done. But maybe that's what I'll do Thursday since I have the time. I'm just going to basically run a couple. I don't think I need to run any errands. Maybe just go grab some more taco meat and some tortillas. Grab some cat food for the cat. And then, yeah, maybe I'll just sink some time into playing Overwatch and working on some artwork. I did finally finish my friend's tattoo. I'm so glad that they loved it. felt bad because it took so damn long for me to get to it. It's just been such a creative dearth over the last year or so. Like, I haven't really wanted to draw. I haven't really wanted to create anything outside of the podcast. And I'm just feeling kind of drained mentally and emotionally. I don't know, man. Maybe I just need to go fucking... I should have done what we talked about with my friends and just taken a trip to fucking Tennessee just for the weekend, just to get away. Just to get out of the fucking city, get out of the house, see some new shit. Even if all I did was just sit up there and, you know, look out over the woods and read and draw, sit by a fireplace, that would have been awesome just to get the fuck out of Dodge. I think it's healthy for people. I just don't, you know, don't get the opportunity to do that very often, ever, really, honestly. I think maybe I've been on vacation since I was an adult. Let's say since I was 18. I think I've been on an actual vacation, like planned to do a thing, to go away for a thing. Maybe 4 times. Maybe four or five times in the past 30 years. Been on vacation that many times. You know what I mean? Like, going to TwitchCon, I don't think counted because it was mostly like also a business trip too. Like, we were there to see stuff, but we were also there to like network and meet other people, talk to other podcasts and shit like that. So it wasn't necessarily just a vacation, but I'm still kind of half counting that. But yeah, just for me to just go away and just do shit that I want to do and just lounge about and see the sights. I haven't done that. Just to fucking do it. Just because I'm like, hey, we just need to go. I haven't done that in probably over a decade and a half. Is that right? I'm trying to do the mental math and I'm like, I should probably have done that before I started talking. Anyway, but yeah, that'd be fucking cool. I'd love to sit down, take some time to do some more drawing. There was some stuff in the Overwatch thing that I saw that was really inspiring. And then I've been checking out a lot of new dramas and stuff like that. And some new anime. And I'm really excited for like some fresh ideas. Definitely want to get into some of that stuff. I actually had a joke the other day because one of our neighbors is getting ready to have a baby soon. We're praying for everything to go well, obviously, and support any way we can. I mean, I can't help you push, but you know, I mean, I can you know, help set up the nursery or something, or I can help like, you know, deliver some hot meals or something so you don't have to cook or anything like that. Oh my God, this water is delicious today. But I was thinking about the delivery room. It should just be called the escape womb. And that was just funny to me. It's calling it an escape womb, like an escape room. And I made myself laugh a lot with that one. That was just fun for me. Kind of a dad joke, but it's all right. I'm allowed. I definitely got to do something about these fucking sweats, though. I'm looking at them right now. I mean, they're in decent repair, but they're old. And I need to get a new pair, or I need to find a way to get these like mended a little bit, and definitely need a damn new drawstring. But it's hard to find good like leisure wear or athleisure wear or whatever, just because, I mean, I would love to dress up more, but I don't really have any purpose to. So maybe that's what one of the things I have to look at is getting some of my older clothes and getting them tailored so that they're like more versatile. Because a lot of stuff I got just because I could wear it. And like this is the best thing I can get from the store at this point. But it never hurts to have like a pair of jeans tailored for you. And a lot of jeans aren't cut for brown boy booties. So I would have to definitely get these altered. Because when I put them on, you're squeezing the cheeks a little tight. It makes it very uncomfortable in other places as well. So it'd be nice to be able to go and get some jeans and get them altered to fit. So I can be like, they fit good, they feel comfortable, and they move fluidly, you know what I mean? Instead of being wrapped around my man's bareth. That's not cool, man. All right, so before we wrap this up with the football, we're going to pop in for some Patreon questions. This is one of the parts of the show that I love, and I'm looking forward to reading more of your questions. Again, unless you ask me to, I won't read your name, so I'm not reading these people's names right now. But we're going to go off with some of the Patreon questions. And let's start off this way. This one is... Dear Link, thanks for the podcast. Appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the podcast as well. And thanks for allowing us to write into the show. This is a very simple question, but I know that you like gaming a lot. What is your most favorite new game franchise? By new, I mean anything that is from 2000, the year 2000, 2000 AD and forward. That's a good question. Favorite new gaming franchise? I mean, probably the... Because you could go with like the classics, and I think that's what they're trying to get me to avoid. You know, going back and be like, oh, I love Mario, I love Legend of Zelda and Metroid or whatever, blah, 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 blah. I think probably newer franchises. Because I would have gone Street Fighter, but Street Fighter's back from the 80s. It's probably one of my favorites. Final Fantasy as well. Also a classic, but also way back in the 80s. New franchise. Damn, that's a real good one. That is a good one. I would say Gears of War, probably. Gears of War is relatively modern, so to speak. And I do really like Overwatch. I loved Overwatch 1. The original Overwatch was awesome. And I don't mind Overwatch 2. They made some weird choices, but I think they're kind of starting to find a little bit more of a groove now. And, yeah. I'd say, yeah, Gears of War... Overwatch. Man, that's actually tough. I never had to think about more recent franchises. I think it's because I've just been in and around gaming for so long that it all feels like it's happening all at once, right? It doesn't feel like it's separate decades or whatever, but I think about it from 2000 to now is 25 years. There's a lot of cool gaming franchises that have come out over the years. I just don't know that I've gotten into many of them. I mean, I guess, well, technically, I can't really call it say that one, because Legend of Zelda is an old franchise, but the truth is, when Legend of Zelda was popular, I never played it. I didn't have a Nintendo Entertainment System, you know what I mean? My folks, I mean, we had like three gaming systems over the entirety of my life that I can recall. One was the Texas Instruments computer, which kind of didn't count. Because it was also the thing that we did like typing lessons and math lessons on. They just had some game cartridges that we could play after we'd done enough lessons on the thing. Then we could have like a gaming session or whatever. So we had that. We had a Vectrex, which was probably one of the coolest consoles that most people have never heard of. But it's amazing. And if I find one, I gotta buy it. We had one with two controllers and a bunch of games. And the games were like black vector graphics, which is where the Vectrex came from. It's vector graphics. Just basically like line graphics on a black and white screen. So because there's no color in the games, that's what also made them super affordable. They came with these little, how do you call them? Like not a Fresnel, but basically like that. It's like a little screen that you would put, like a little plastic overlay you'd put on the screen of your console. So that would give your color to your games. It was a very inventive like idea. But it also meant that like a lot of the games would play out either in monochromatic looks, it'd be like all blue or all green or whatever, or there'd be play zones that were created. So the graphic would only work when you were in a certain zone. And so they designed the game to be kind of stationary so that the plastic overlay would give you the right color for the sensation that they were trying to evoke. Pretty cool idea though. Yeah, favorite gaming franchises that are more modern. Yeah, I guess those would be the two big ones, Gears of War and Overwatch. I think there's a lot of game franchises that I like. There's a lot of games that I like, but I'm not sure if I'm a fan of the full franchise itself. If that makes any sense. Because I liked what was it, Ace Combat way back in the day, but I tried playing some of the more modern ones, and they just feel kind of static, I guess, might be the right word for it. And then there's franchises that have games. Like Star Wars has a bunch of games in that franchise, but they're not any one franchise of games. So like, I like Star Wars Squadrons because I like the space combat, but you know, didn't really lean into the single player, third person adventure kind of things. I was like, it's not bad, it's just, I don't know, something about it didn't seem to move me much. Like, I was intrigued by watching the stories much more so than the idea of playing them. But that's a good question. That's a really good question. Let's see. We got one. Okay. Let's see. Dear Link, thanks for the podcast. You asked for... Sometimes you asked... You said you would offer advice. Wait, how's it read? So... Some time ago, you said that you would offer advice if people wanted it. Ooh. Okay. Let's go. Without giving too much about myself away, I am a 32 female. My boyfriend is 33 male. Skim through this. Looks like you get along relatively well. Enjoy doing this company. Been together for about 3 years. Probably contemplating marriage. Yeah, good for you. My question is, my boyfriend is not overtly sentimental. Okay. He's a dude, so I can kind of see that. let's see what she means. Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries seem to kind of come and go without any real acknowledgement outside of the static. The static kind of happy blah, blah, blah day. Here's a card.
Okay.
Sometimes it won't even get an acknowledgement, barely a nod, and often forgets. It sounds like a typical dude. It sounds like more like a typical stereotype of a dude, let's be honest with you. Not for nothing. It kind of sounds like a little bit of a jackass. But let's see what we got here. My question is, how do I find ways to get him to engage more? As these kinds of events, holidays, anniversaries, etc., mean a lot to me, even if they don't mean a lot to him. It's not that he doesn't care. I just think that he genuinely doesn't place a lot of stock in it. And maybe because he doesn't appreciate him as much as I do, thinks that, you know, we're on the same page. Okay, so you're not speaking the same love language, so to speak, I guess. I also heard that love language thing. It's kind of largely bullshit, but I don't know. There is some validity to it. Let's see. Okay, so thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Good podcast. All right. Boyfriend doesn't do sentimentality. He's not much into giving gifts. Like I said, it does sound like typical dude behavior, which is not excusing it by any stretch of the imagination. Because, to quote the great Chris Rock, women need three things: food, water, and compliments, and the occasional pair of shoes. You know, it sounds a little reductive, but it's true. And I think everybody feels that way. You know, everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to be appreciated. And while it may look differently to some people at certain times, and some people are into X form of expression of affection, some people are into Y form of expression of affection. I think you may just, I mean, this is really going to just be coming down to communication. You got to sit them down and tell them, like, hey, I know this isn't a big deal for you. I know that, like, you know, whatever's going on, you don't really give a shit about birthdays or anniversaries and stuff like that. That, I mean, that's fine. But these are important things for me. And it makes me feel noticed when you pay attention to my birthday. You know what I mean? You get me no more than just a, hey, happy birthday, where you want to go to eat kind of shit. You know, put a little thought into the thing. And when they say that's the thought that counts, that is largely true. Bumped my microphone. I'll say this to you just so you could keep this in mind and you could maybe express it better than I'm about to. If you're finding that he's not paying enough attention to the way that you like to have your emotional needs met, if it's, you know, maybe for your birthday, he knows that you, I don't know, I'm gonna make something silly up or whatever. He knows that you like flowers, right? Like, but he's like, you know, flowers, you pick them, they die, they're sitting there to draw bugs, whatever. Maybe he goes to get, like, you know, a mod your own bouquet kind of thing, or builds like a little, maybe he builds you like a little flower box or something like that, where you can have like fake flowers that he built on there and painted on there in whimsical kind of way. Maybe he's crafty like that. Maybe he has it ordered from Etsy. Maybe you're into, I don't know, whatever it is you're into, but he finds some way to connect your interests with a gift that he's gotten for you or a way of demonstrating his affection for you that ties in with that interest, right? Maybe you're big into, you know, nature hikes and trails and stuff like that. And he goes, you know, it'd be really cool is if we went to go and check out this one place. And then he sets it up so that you guys can, you know, go to this spot, hang out there and enjoy just maybe like a nice meal or, you know, have like a, you know, this is like a picnic or something like that, or just like a bottle of wine while you're looking out of the view as the sun goes down. That'd be kind of cool. But it doesn't have to be a grandiose gesture. It's just something that lets him know, that lets you know that he is thinking of you, right? And that he's got you in mind. I think that plays well for a lot of people, though. Like, you know, if you feel like you're being unappreciated or underappreciated, you tend to try to withdraw and do less and care less. And that's when you really start losing people. And I think that that's probably what you need to do is talk to him and tell him, like, hey, this stuff matters to me. And it's weird that you don't do it. Like, that's the other thing, too. Is this a new behavior? Has he always been this way? Like, has he always been kind of like, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of oblivious and thoughtless? Because, I mean, that seems like a very basic kind of thing to do, especially for like a girlfriend. You guys been, let's see, three years? 3 years. And he's like this all the time. I feel like it's a little bit you and a little bit him, because this is a time when you could have actively communicated this more effectively. After 3 years, I would have said something by now. You know what I mean? If this is going on for this long, it's time to finally break the silence, you know? But also that's kind of on you too, because if that's the way dude's been for like the last 3 years, by year one or two, you should have been like, all right, that's enough of this shit. You know what I mean? Either we're going to work this thing out, or we need to find another way to do this, or maybe not do this at all. So I'm not saying that you're to blame, but I am saying that you are kind of complicit in this behavior because he hasn't seen any pushback, so he's had no reason to amend the behavior. See what I'm saying? It's not your fault that he's this way. That's his own thing to work on. But it is your fault that you've allowed it to continue this much if it bothers you to this degree. So I say sit him down, talk it over with him, let him know the importance of it. And then again, you know, just remind him like, hey, everybody has emotions and feelings. And just because you don't think this is important doesn't mean it's not important to me. And just because I don't make a big deal about it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Part of it is probably, I think the reason you haven't said it, it's what happens to a lot of people, I would imagine, is that you're worried that he's going to take it as an attack or he's going to take it as, you know, like a belittlement or something. When that's not the case, you're just basically saying, I'm a human being. I have emotions and feelings and I'd like you to respect them. And it'll be very telling to see what happens when you approach him with that. The way that people respond when they hear that can be very telling about what they actually think and feel. Because when they start to go on the defensive, usually it means they know they're fucking up. But sometimes it means that they just don't want to be called out because it means extra effort for them. It's a very like narcissistic and shallow way to look at the world, but that's how some people are. You got to find out if that's the kind of dude you got. And if that's the kind of dude you got, maybe it might be time to say bye. As much as it would suck, because, you know, maybe I'm sure you guys, if you've been together this long, something had to be working, right? Right? Like something had to be going well for you to stick around for that long. But maybe it's just run its course. I mean, that shit happens. You know what I mean? And I mean, I guess the thankful thing is that you're not married yet and you don't have kids, I hope. I mean, just because it's going to suck for everybody involved, the more involvement, the more entanglement you have, the harder it becomes to extricate yourself from a situation like that, if that becomes the case. That may not necessarily be what's happening here, but you do need to sit them down, talk to them sooner than later. And, you got to see that the best apology is change behavior, right? If you start to notice people just pay lip service to shit and just keep walking all over your feelings, you got to make sure you step on that shit and be like, look, the other thing, you're sorry. You're sorry, I'm sorry, everybody's sorry. We can't do sorry anymore. Either change or I'm out. And sometimes people need an ultimatum to get them to come around and to think about what they're doing and how what they're doing affects other people. That's, you know, not just in your relationship, that goes with like family relationships. It goes with like interpersonal relationships on the job, with friend groups, you know, with just people you meet every day. You know, you teach people how to treat you. And people will teach you by how they'll teach you by how they treat you, you know, what they really think about you. And I think if he's being neglectful and, just kind of callous to your feelings and not acknowledging like what you are looking for when it comes to expressing intimacy or appreciation, right? If you see that behavior continue unmitigated, even after you've mentioned it, or if they just kind of like, it gets worse, he's telling you, I don't care. That's what's happening right there. They're basically, without saying it, they're saying, this doesn't matter enough for me to do anything differently. Like I said, people put their time and effort into things that they think about and they care about. And you think about like, how much time does he spend hanging out with his homies? You know what I mean? Does he spend more time at like, you know, work? Is he really immersing himself in work all the time? And does that? And then he goes over with his family, goes out with his friends, have like any hobbies or whatever. Does he put enough investment back into you, even in small ways, to make you feel like you're really being appreciated? Not just enough as like a damage mitigation kind of thing. Like, I'm trying to do just enough to not get fired. You know, any motherfucker could do that. But is he actually making an effort to make you feel special and appreciated? If that's not the case, sister friend, might be time to take a walk. Tell him we were on a break. But unlike Ross and Rachel, actually just break up. Don't be like, we were on a break. And if you do go on a break, don't do no wild shit, because Lord knows you want to be like them and it comes back to you one day. That will fuck you up. But anyway, I said talk it out with him. Let him know how his lack of attention and lack of concern for, you know, you in terms of how he displays affection does make you feel unwanted, or at least unappreciated or underappreciated, and that you need a change. Otherwise, things are going to have to change permanently. Okay? Hopefully that's good advice. That's probably one of the best advice calls I've ever done. I've done some advice stuff before, but I think it was probably one of the best ones I've done so far. Maybe age of maturity is working for me as I make a little angel wing out of my sticky notes. All right, let's wrap this thing up, baby. All right, let's get into it. You know what it is. It is football time. Time to talk about football. So, you guys remember I made predictions as I try to do every week. And boy, howdy, was I, that was about hit or miss, pretty much like as usual. So, like I said, I was average. Two out of three ain't bad, right? I did call that Pittsburgh would win against Baltimore. I did say it would be close, but I didn't really expect it to be as close as it was. Didn't catch a lot of that game, but I figured Pittsburgh would handle Baltimore pretty easily, and I was right. Walking out of that one with a 27-22 win over the Ravens. Jacksonville versus Indianapolis. Boy, oh boy. Can I tell you guys, okay, this is one of those I told you so moments. I told you so. See, people have been talking shit about the Jaguars since time immemorial, but how did I say that right? Immemorial, it feels like. But this new coach, man, he's lit a fire under these guys, and they're looking and playing like a championship team, and it's really paying off some decent dividends. The fun thing about this was, and I had said this a while back, there's certain teams that have been overblown, made to look more dangerous than they actually are. And Indianapolis Colts is one of them. They got the sauce beat out of them. 36-19, an absolute rout in my personal opinion, for a team that everybody's like, oh, can Indy make it to the playoffs? And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. So guess what? No. Yeah, they took that L for real. The last game of the week was the one I was really hoping would go my way, and I kind of figured it wouldn't. It was too close for me to actually make a call because it was Green Bay versus the Chicago Bears. And I'll be real honest with you guys, man. I was not willing to pull for Chicago this week only because I know when Chicago plays Green Bay, we almost always lose. Then I went to go to the tape, and as it turns out, that's pretty much right. The record is now like 19-52. Just round that out. You know what I mean? Like 20 wins for Chicago versus 50 wins for Green Bay. Rounding it down. You know what I mean? That's a really shitty ratio. Oh my God, a 2-5 ratio for that's just heartbreaking. That's just not great. And the really screwy thing about it was that Chicago made a lot of, I don't know what's wrong with our fucking coach. Sometimes he's doing great, and then sometimes he just has a fucking squirrel moment, and you're like, what was that play call, you know? And granted, you know, sometimes players are going to have to make decisions on the field if they want to win the game. And this is one of the reasons why I feel like sometimes there's an actual, I do have a belief in some conspiracy theories. And one of them is that the NFL is about as scripted as the WWE. Like, there's real action that happens, but this whole thing has been plotted out beforehand. And I feel like Chicago's rise to be like, you know, the top seed in the NFC, only to meet the Green Bay Packers of all teams and get crushed, felt jilted. Felt like somebody like had robbed them somehow, and like they had been scammed out of that win. Also, Chicago made some weird play calls. There were very few, but there were a couple of scurrilous calls on both sides of the ball for, you know, both teams. There's a couple of times I'm like, ooh, Chicago should have probably gotten the penalty for that. And other times I'm like, they should definitely not have gotten penalized for that. And vice versa. But then they were doing some weird plays too. Like they're running just, I don't know. It felt like peewee football, basically, is what I'm saying. And I wasn't thrilled about it at all. But, you know, you gotta take what you get each week. And I just don't feel like it was well-played ball. And unfortunately, that's where we land right now. Chicago Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers 21-28. Heartbreaker for me, but I bet you it's worse for them. Well, at least they get paid, I guess, so it doesn't really hurt that much. I'll dry my eyes with my $100 bills stuffed into my mattress. I'm sure that's not how the players feel. I'm sure it really sucks ass. But you know what I'm saying? I can't really be too sad about it. You know what I mean? I'm just a fan. I don't have any money on the game. I ain't got no stock in the team. I can't get season tickets. So it just be what it is. Going into next week, though, let's see, we're coming into week 15. The matchups are, I'm going to say we're all going to, all the teams are going to win next week. Pittsburgh is facing off against the Miami Dolphins, who are not necessarily like the best team in the world, but they ain't the worst team in the world, but they definitely not the best team in the world. So, nope. I have a feeling that Pittsburgh's going to, you know, eat the Dolphins up. Same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the New York Jets. That game is going to be here at home in Jacksonville. And the Jets are 3-10. And if the Jaguars lose to the Jets, they may just have to hang it up for the season. It's bad enough they've already lost some a heartbreaker or two to some really slow-end teams. But if they lose this one, it's a wrap. And then next week, it's going to be Chicago Bears versus the Cleveland Browns. Another one. Which is like, why would you ever... Why would you ever? Like, please don't lose to these fools. That's all I'm saying. Don't lose to them. Yeah, so the Jets, I was looking at, there's some weird thing on the ESPN website where I went to go click on this. But it was showing the right ones. The Browns and the Jets are both 3-1. So, no, these should be easy wins for Chicago and Jacksonville next week. I expect to see dubs behind their names next week. We'll find out. So tune in and come back. Let me know what you think about today's advice questions. The other questions, what is your favorite modern gaming franchise? And by modern, I mean from the year 2000 on. Those are great questions. I hope we were able to help somebody. If you want to hear some advice from me, my own personal spin take on your situation, again, email me at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I would love to hear from you as well. Comments, questions, maybe you got a recipe you want to share. Maybe you want to ask for one of mine. I'll tell you one next podcast, actually. I'll come up with something to give you. And then hopefully you can replicate it and let me know how it worked out for you. And again, check me out over on Twitch, twitch.tv/linkib. That's link, the letter I and the word B, as in I am. So there I be, link I be. Yeah, today I'm going to be popping back over some Borderlands, maybe some Overwatch, maybe go back to some Final Fantasy Tactics. Who knows? Who knows? We'll figure that out as a game time decision here in just a little bit. All right. I gotta go. I catch y'all later. Thank you very much for the podcast. Listens, views, shares. You know what I'm talking about. Rate, subscribe, and all that jazz wherever you can. I love you guys. And I'll catch you wanders a little further down the road. All right. Get to rambling, people. Peace.